Live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's Stillman and Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. TriStar Movers with five-star service. With Jared Stillman on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
1025 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Texas to the SEC. Apparently it's reported that's what they want to do. They and Oklahoma want to join the SEC. Let me say this. Do I get a vote?
Like a real vote?
Should I get a vote?
No. You can have a vote on the show. This is your faux vote.
Yeah, I'm against it.
No.
I'm against it.
No. And just, I think that
I don't. Some of it is for A&M's sake, too. You know, the idea that Texas flipped you the middle finger 10 years ago and you can flip it back to them. And I think Texas should have to live with their decision, and I just don't care about Texas that much.
And if with your logic, if you have to move Auburn to the east, which I think is ridiculous, I think Auburn would be against it as well.
Who else would you move to the east?
Oklahoma.
No, you're not going to put Oklahoma in the east.
Why?
Because, like, it's Oklahoma.
Okay.
It's like on, and I know Missouri's in the east, but it's on this part of the country.
Yeah. So is Missouri.
I know, but, like, that's stupid, but this is, like, doubly stupid.
But, okay, and if with that logic, then if I'm Auburn, absolutely freaking not. Absolutely not.
Oh, if I'm Auburn, I want to the East so fast.
Well, Auburn is in the most premier college football division in all of college football. Why would they want to leave?
Because they can get to the SEC title game more by playing in the East.
And then get zooted by Alabama again?
Well, they'll play Alabama the week before anyways.
I don't think Auburn would be about it. If I'm Auburn, I'm not doing that. Why do I have to give up my spot so these guys can come in? Absolutely not.
No, you get to give up your spot so you don't have to play. Well, you still have to play Alabama every year because they're going to keep that.
Play Alabama every year. Yeah.
I mean, it makes Tennessee's life easier. That's the only one whose life is easier is Tennessee, if that's the case. According to Pete Thamel, quote, any notion of OU and Texas going to the SEC would be news to the Big 12. There's a feeling it wouldn't make sense competitively as there'd be a much more difficult road to the college football playoff. I don't think they care. I don't think Texas or Oklahoma cares about a more competitive road to the college football playoff.
No, because, well, Texas hasn't been. So it's not like they necessarily care about having a more difficult one. I think Oklahoma, I mean, I don't think they care about the college football playoff. I think if they want to be in the SEC, they understand that it's going to be a more difficult ride.
Pete Thamel, statement from Oklahoma, quote, the college athletics landscape is shifting constantly. We don't address every anonymous rumor.
I don't think this is a rumor.
Well, I'm just saying they are not denying anything with that statement.
No.
Okay, here you go. Pete Thamel says, generally feel that Texas was going to essentially explore free agency after their TV deal. Independent, ACC, SEC, they were going to be active. Quote, there's too much chatter and conversation behind the scenes for there not to be some truth here.
I don't doubt that this isn't true. I don't doubt that Texas and Oklahoma have asked you to join the SEC. It's a way more competitive conference. It would get way more eyes on their games. So I don't doubt that it's true. I don't doubt that the SEC could potentially explore this idea. But I do doubt that it will happen.
What do you think is more likely? We get a baseball team in Nashville or Texas and Oklahoma go to the SEC?
We get a baseball team in Nashville.
Max, what do you think? Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC or we get a baseball team in Nashville?
Texas and Oklahoma.
Ooh, why?
I think they'll both happen, but that would happen first if they were to both happen.
So you think Texas and Oklahoma are going to the SEC?
I mean, if this is real, why would it not happen other than A&M?
I am starting to get swayed. The A&M, like I literally less than an hour ago, this was a total non-starter for me. Like a non-starter. Not going to happen.
Pancake.
A&M pancaked.
Well, A&M has to pancake. A&M has to keep that an option.
An hour ago, A&M said, over our dead bodies are we letting Texas into the SEC. Now, A&M saying, well, you know, I mean, I get it. It makes sense. You know, whatever's best for the conference, we'll do. You know, we're team players around here.
I don't think it's going to happen. And I think that's more of, that's a little bit of like me not wanting it to happen. But I think when you, it's a lot of logistic changing, which I know that it happened when Missouri and Texas A&M joined the SEC. But I think that this is even more so some meandering of state lines and of TV contracts. You bring the Longhorn Network into consideration as well.
Well, apparently the TV deal's up, and that's when Texas would leave.
With the Longhorn Network?
With that whole
I don't necessarily know how much revenue that brings ESPN.
I think it sucks. I think like it has been incredibly underwhelming for what they were expecting.
The only thing I know about is that Les Miles' daughter works for the Longhorn Network. That's all that I know. So I don't know if that's necessarily a hard hit for ESPN is losing the Longhorn Network. Maybe that's actually better for them to relieve themselves of the Longhorn Network and Texas just joins the SEC. I understand the financial gain that it could possibly be for the SEC. I just don't think it makes sense.
Where do these schools go, though? Here's my question. Let's say Texas, let's take it a step further. Mm-hmm. Let's say Texas and Oklahoma go to the SEC. I'm guessing Baylor gets gobbled up by the Big Ten.
Okay.
Because they want a presence in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would
sense.
Allow Dallas, huge market. I think they go Baylor over TCU.
So who else goes to the Big Ten?
I think Kansas goes to the Big Ten.
Okay.
Because, again, Iowa State doesn't give them a TV market they don't have. They already have Iowa. So if you're the Big Ten, mm-hmm. it's either Oklahoma State to get a different TV market. It's either Oklahoma State, West Virginia, who I couldn't see the Big Ten having any interest in. And Kansas or Kansas State, and I would take Kansas over Kansas State, especially knowing now you get Kansas with Michigan State and Michigan and
Iowa basketball. State?
No, because they already have Iowa.
Yeah.
So they don't need the TV market. So the Big Ten gets but adds a state.
Iowa State Kansas. Could be a fun rivalry.
But it's already a rivalry.
So, yeah, now it's an in-conference rivalry.
Yeah, but it's not a conference rivalry, so why would you want to bring it in conference? Like, we don't need Georgia Tech in the SEC again.
True.
So that we can get Georgia Tech. So I think that it would be Baylor and Kansas to the Big Ten.
Okay.
TCU to the Pac-12.
And who else?
TCU to the Pac-12 and...
West Virginia?
K-State. You're going to take West Virginia on the entire eastern part of the country, and you're going to have the West Virginia women's volleyball team fly out to Oregon to play.
I'm just spitballing here.
I cannot see.
Then where does West Virginia go?
So I think West
K-State
Virginia.
K-State is also not that close to Oregon, but.
I think West Virginia has to go to the AAC. Like, there are going to be teams left behind now. Like, there are teams that will get left out of this. So how many teams does the Pac-12 want? Let's say the Pac-12 takes TCU, mm-hmm. which would make the most sense. Give them Dallas.
Okay.
TCU and either K-State, Iowa State, or Oklahoma State, or they could take all three. And then
and
you have an 18-team conference.
That's a big conference. And that is that's the entire West.
That
the
leaves out
West.
Texas Tech and West Virginia.
So they would Mountain West
and AAC.
AAC, ACC.
No, I do not think the ACC would want West Virginia. I don't think the ACC would have any interest
That's
in West Virginia.
Three.
Could the SEC want West Virginia? Probably not.
Probably not.
But it's a state they don't technically have.
I don't think they're interested.
So do you think that if this happens, again, the rumor being Texas and Oklahoma are lobbying for a move to the SEC. An hour ago, Texas A&M came out and vehemently denied it. Now Texas A&M has dropped back their dislike of the idea.
They're not running back, but they're also not making it over my dead body. So this isn't them saying, oh, yeah, sure. But I think that they're open to the idea if they need to.
Well, we've talked for years about four power conferences,
mm-hmm.
which made sense when you had four teams in the college football playoff. The other thing of note in this is what about the other schools that may be looking for a step up? So like somebody texts in, Chris Titans and Truth, and I love him to death, but he mm-hmm. texted into the text line, which is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, And he said, well, what about Memphis into the SEC? And I'm like, this is not going to happen.
The money, I understand his thought process with the rivalries and with the general location of where Memphis is. But in terms of money, it doesn't have the same allure as a Texas and an Oklahoma. And one texter texts in and says Texas and Notre Dame should create their own conference, call it the Big Two. They can play each other every week and then declare the winner of that series the national champion.
I think Notre Dame is a key cog in all of this. Because as we talk about West Virginia, if you can convince Notre Dame to join the ACC, then maybe West Virginia has a life raft.
Then where is Texas Tech?
Well, who cares about Texas Tech?
Oh, Texas Tech cares about Texas Tech. Patrick Mahomes cares about Texas Tech.
Do you personally know anybody who cares about Texas Tech?
Yeah.
Who?
His name is Hayden. He went there. You don't know him.
How do you know Hayden from Texas Tech?
He used to date one of my friends. He went to Texas Tech.
Did your friend go to Lubbock?
She did go to Lubbock.
I hear Lubbock is the single worst place in America.
I don't doubt it. She didn't go very often.
I mean, Tommy Tuberville, who I do not have a lot of respect for. Tommy Tuberville left Texas Tech to go to Cincinnati, and they asked why you go from the Big 12 to the AAC, and he's like, because I have a wife, and she doesn't want to live in Lubbock anymore.
It's fair. I mean, it's in the middle of nowhere, Texas.
This is wild, though. No,
I mean, this
you
will leave, come...
I mean, to me, Texas Tech is getting the... Like, if you had to say what's the most least valuable school in the Big 12, you would say Texas Tech.
Question for the class. Of all of the things that are happening, all the changes that are happening in college football right now, the proposed 12-team college football playoff... NIL, and Texas and Oklahoma possibly joining the SEC, ending the Big 12, all the teams dispersing, which is the biggest shake up in all of college football?
I don't know, but I hate them all.
I don't hate NIL.
I don't care about that one. That one I don't.
I hate the 12-team college football playoff, and I hate this. I don't want it to happen.
NIL, I don't care, but the 12-team playoff I hate, and this I just think is stupid. But, I mean, I'll get over it.
If all three happen, college football is completely changed.
Well, do you think the 12-team playoff is happening independent of this possibility of Texas going out into free agency?
Yeah. But if Texas and Oklahoma go into the SEC, the Big 12's over, all of these teams disperse, then I think it changes how teams get into the college football playoff. I don't think it's four byes anymore because there are going to be four conference champions.
I think if this happens, it becomes the NFL where there are more exciting games on a weekly basis. Like, you know, Alabama's going to have to play Oklahoma one week, then they're going to have to turn around and play Auburn, then they're going to have to turn around and play Texas, and they're going to have to the NFC Championship. Like, that's how the NFL kind of is. That's what they hope. You know, you want the Cowboys playing the Eagles this week, big game, and then they're playing the Patriots, big game. But then, like, we're going to have teams with three losses to get to the playoff.
Yeah, because there's going to be one last conference.
So it's not even really going to be the same sport anymore.
No, it's going to be completely
different. There's
going to
be nothing about this sport. Like, this sport compared to 30 years ago is going to be completely unrecognizable. Now, in the case of baseball, they cling on so much to what 30 years ago was that it kind of stinks. But I don't know. I think this
is all... Sometimes you can change too much.
I think this is all stupid.
I don't like it. I also am afraid of change. And so that's one thing that could be said about it. But I honestly just don't think it needs to be done.
Can I ask a question for a non-profit university, which is what these are?
Yes.
Like, how much more money do you need? Like, I get it.
I'll ask you that same question.
But see, like, I work at a for-profit business. So, like, when you ask, you know,
but
Jared Stillman
Capital.
These aren't
schools. These are teams that... Or you can kind of think of them separate from the school. These are businesses.
But how much more money do you need? Do you need to pay Nick Saban $12 million? Like, because that's what happens. If all this comes to fruition, it's all about the money. It's also that Nick Saban can make $12 million instead of $9 million or whatever he makes. And that's fine. I mean, it's capitalism. I don't have a problem with it. But not one of these old men that's up there that's like, yeah, you know, my day coaches coach for a nickel. Like, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, do you really need, like, is it worth ruining college football just so that you can pay Nick Saban $12 million instead of $9 million? And maybe the answer is yes. I don't know.
I don't think that's what it's about. About just paying coaches more.
Well, but that's what it, I mean, where's the money going? It's not going to the students.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it is not. These programs lose money.
The football programs do not lose money.
A lot of football programs
around
the country lose money.
A lot of them do, not all of them.
like this is, it's not going to like.
So maybe they no longer will lose money.
But these aren't for-profit institutions. So if you make all this money, where does it go?
The programs are different than the institutions.
Right, but they're not for-profit businesses. Like, you can't take money. Like, these schools take money from taxpayer dollars to be run.
Yes. But those go to, that goes to the library.
But they're not taking the money that they make, you know, from the SEC network. They're just recycling it amongst themselves. Except for Vanderbilt, who doesn't spend any of it. Like, you're just taking the money, and it's like, okay, we want a new weight room. Okay, here's our money for the weight room.
Yeah.
So do we need more weight rooms?
I guess.
Like, don't they already have state-of-the-art weight rooms with waterfalls now?
Why do we need more money? That's a silly question.
But again, college, like, these college chancellors are not hired to run for-profit businesses.
But
it
the
is
chancellors
not
aren't
Alabama
Capital the
Incorporated.
The chancellors are not running the football program.
But yes, they are.
Okay, but like...
In every big power struggle...
Yes, they are.
In every big power struggle... When all this is being discussed, the ADs don't get a say. The coaches don't get a say. This is not Steve Sarkisian calling up Nick Saban saying, hey, we'd like to be in the SEC. This is at the chancellor level. Like, this is above... Greg Sankey does not get a say. No commissioner gets a say in anything. They get to just represent what the other 14 guys want.
I don't think Greg Sankey is completely out of the conversation.
If Greg Sankey said, I don't want to do it, and the other 14 said, and the 14 chancellors said, we're doing it, then he's doing it. That's like Manfred in baseball, Goodell. The commissioner's job is to essentially be the bad guy, but you're representing a majority of the clubs with everything you do. That's the commissioner's job. So it's what these chancellors want to do. And I guess what I'm saying is, if you're the chancellor at Ole Miss, mm-hmm. do you need more money for your football program while kind of ruining the sport? And maybe the answer is yes. I don't know. I'm not a chancellor, so I don't know what that day-to-day life is like. But, I mean, this is a total just, I mean, this is a blowing, this is lighting college football on fire.
This would... I don't want to use the word ruin because I'm sure there are so many things that have happened in college football in the past that people have said, oh, this is ruining college football. And like college football is fine.
But college football has gone down a lot over the last couple of years.
I kind of feel like this would hurt college football. It would completely change the perception of college football.
What do you do about the bad schools?
That's another thing is like, okay, we're going to talk about Oklahoma and Alabama and Texas and Florida, whatever. These are great matchups. What happens to Vanderbilt? What happens to Texas Tech, which you said doesn't matter? What happens to these schools that, I mean, do they drown even more? Because the way that conferences are laid out right now, it kind of already feels like there's a top tier and there's a bottom tier, and those bottom tier schools are just reaching out for breath. So what happens when you add even more powerhouses to a conference, when you have even more to compete with? The big teams get bigger, the small teams get smaller. That's how it is.
I don't know. I think that this is one of these ones where I'm putting my foot down and I'm saying, like, if I'm in charge, I'm like, dude, I don't want to do this. I mean, I don't want to do this. Then again, I didn't love conference realignment last time. It ruined the Big East. But ultimately, everybody except for Connecticut survived. So
UConn will be fine.
No, they won't. UConn's a mess.
The football program is.
Yeah, but the whole thing's a mess now. Other than their women's basketball program, the whole thing's a mess. I mean, go look at their 2010 baseball team. They used to actually have a squad.
Yeah.
They made the Fiesta Bowl at one point. Like, they've given up. Chase has sat down with Paul Feinbaum. We will have that coming up next. We're live from the Whole Selling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. Chase McCabe is hanging out in Hoover, Alabama at SEC Media Days. 102.5 The Game's coverage of SEC Media Days, brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket, your equipment supplier in Nashville, including gaskets, hoses, hose fittings, seals, packing, joints, gauges, fire protection, cups, belting, and more. If you need it, they've got it. Chase is sitting down with Paul Feinbaum.
Back here, SEC Media Days, Radio Row, Chase McCabe, all brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Paul Feinbaum of the SEC Network and ESPN of the Paul Feinbaum Show in the flesh. We actually get to see each other again. Coach Saban took the podium today and fielded all the questions. What did you think about how the Bama head coach did? He seemed to have some humor this year.
He did have some humor, but I thought on the biggest question of the day, it was one of the more peculiar responses, and that was the question about Bryce Young and the $1 million, which he said yesterday in front of 5,000 people, and today literally would not address it. He told some people privately that he thought that was not being covered by the media, which is a whole other conversation in today's world when you speak in front of 5,000 people and you don't think anybody's going to pick it up. So it was just a really, you know, to say I can't really answer that until next year because I could be wrong, that is a very un-Nick Saban-like answer.
Are you surprised that he wouldn't want to hit some of that stuff a little more head-on instead of kind of pushing it off to next year like he did?
Well, I think he's already accomplished what he wanted to accomplish, and that was with what he said yesterday. He sent out the message, and remember, Nick Saban only cares about recruiting. He's not concerned about the people sitting in that room. He said you can make $1 million a year if you're the quarterback at Alabama. I think when he got back last night, I'm sure some people were talking to him, and I think he realized if he kept talking about it today, it would just further the story, and he didn't need to further the story. Every high school player in the country read that yesterday.
So those comments, is that what I guess the fear should be with all of this and learning about NIL, that, well, all right, that there's the recruiting method. Nick's going to use it for Alabama, and then next thing you know, you're going to have Coach O saying that with LSU and so on and so forth.
I think so, and I think if he had said, I think maybe he, on the way up here, he tried out some answers with this group, and I think he probably wanted to say, well, I didn't realize I was going to be quoted, and he would have gotten laughed out of the room, and you know, if the two of us were sitting there interviewing him, I mean, we wouldn't have let that go. But he just hung on. It was like that was my answer, and it seems to tell me he did what he did yesterday by design, and maybe after they talked about it, somebody said, you know, maybe it's not a good idea to go to Media Days, which is sacrosanct, and it's an SEC sanctioned event to be, you know, promoting the fact that players are making that much money. It was just something weird about it.
Yeah, I agree. Paul Feinbaum here with us. Lane Kiffin also spoke yesterday, and he had a lot of high praise for Nick Saban. Nick Saban was asked about Lane. He said, I respect him a lot as a football coach, and talked about their relationship and being two different people. What do you think that relationship is at this point?
I think it's strained. I mean, I feel like I know both of them moderately well, and I mean, they did not get along. Saban thought Lane Kiffin was a child when he was the head coach, when he was the assistant coach at Alabama. And I mean, I think they're cordial. I mean, Saban, you know, he said all the right things, but I would challenge anyone listening to find a statement by Nick Saban over the last 20 years where he has criticized a coach. He doesn't do it. So he always just offers faint praise. You know, Lane's a really good coach. Lane did a great job. All these things are true. But don't forget the most important thing. Nick Saban fired Lane Kiffin a week before the national championship game. So I'll leave it at that.
Josh Heupel made his SEC Media Days debut for Tennessee. And, you know, one thing I noticed, he went through the car wash, did all the things that the coach does, but he mingled a little bit around Radio Row. He talked to people off the air. He was trying to make some relationships with what he's inherited and the things that Jeremy Pruitt didn't do. How important is that for him to build those relationships?
It's very important, and I think he had really good advice. They've got good public relations people at Tennessee, and you can, I mean, I'll spare you the, you only have one chance to make a first impression cliche, but yeah, I think, you know, those are little bitty things that don't mean much, but we are collectively a pack, and when you see somebody do that, you go, oh, that's really cool. Go back whatever year it was, 1990, I think, this event had a golf tournament one afternoon. I mean, it was like, went on for 5 days. And like on Wednesday afternoon, everybody went to a course and played golf. The first year he was here, Steve Spurrier went and played golf. Nobody forgot that. I mean, if you're a sportscaster or a sports writer and the head coach of Florida is playing golf with you, you're going, that's a cool guy. So that's what Heupel's doing. He's trying to look like he likes the media.
The fans want to see results right away. As you can imagine, they've been patient for 20-something years. But realistically, this team's probably not going to be very good. What would be considered a success for Josh Heupel in year one?
I think one of two things. Either, you know, pulling a mild upset against someone, and there'll be an underdog probably in 70% of the games, or finding a way to cobble six wins together and get to a bowl game, assuming they're allowed to go to a bowl game. And that may, it's another story, whether Tennessee will self-impose. So first-year coaches need something for fans to be excited about. Scoring 45 points and losing 55 to 45 is really not enough.
Danny White, the athletic director, who hired him, obviously knew him from UCF. I like that hire a lot. We talked to you about it after it was done. Do you feel like he is truly the right person that can take not only football and fix it, but the entire athletic department?
I don't know. I asked somebody from Knoxville yesterday about Danny White, and he said, well, you know, he kept Vitello. Well, come on. I mean, that is not going to be you're going to be judged by one thing at Tennessee, and that's football. That's where he put all his cards. So I think he's got a very strong reputation. You know, forget the beginning. It was a little weird. The Heupel selection, many people criticized. But, I'm still somewhat baffled by what happened to Philip Fulmer. Hasn't been explained. So I think the key for Danny White is being a good CEO, but also figuring out a way to understand that community. And I have not lived in Knoxville in a long time, but it is a complex place, and that's where my biggest concerns would be.
Clark Lee and Vanderbilt. Clark Lee knows Vanderbilt. He went there. Now you're seeing some finances actually go towards the athletic department, the football program, so he's inheriting that. But, again, it's Vanderbilt. That's what people are always going to say. But some impressions from him thus far on what he's doing, you know, making guys earn their numbers, earn the logos on the helmet, earn their spot, all those things, as he tries to revitalize that program.
I think that's all a bunch of nonsense. I mean, I don't think it makes one bit of difference. I just think he has to have something to say because he has a terrible football team. And in relation to what they've done, I don't think it's enough. I mean, they're putting a Band-Aid on a major, you know, incision. And, you know, I like him. Everyone who has encountered him is impressed. He was impressive today, but... I've got to see it on the field. I don't really care what he says off the field. If he doesn't win football games, it's not going to make any difference.
You said that with the finances and stuff, that Vandy United is what they call it. I look at it as a first step. But my concern is, because of what's happened in the past, is that'll be the only step. And like, hey, yeah, $300 million, and then we move on. Do you have faith with this new chancellor and Candace Lee as the AD that maybe this is different?
I know her, and I like her and respect her. I don't know the chancellor. But I do know what the priorities are at Vanderbilt, and they're not football.
Hey, Paul, always a pleasure. Good to see you.
That was Paul Feinbaum on with Chase at SEC Media Days. Our coverage, of course, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. We have more news. We will hit the headlines with Caroline. We have more news to get to on the SEC Texas-Oklahoma drama, which we will do. Plus, the Titans, I think, just picked up another primetime game. So we've got that to discuss as well. And the expansion draft, which apparently is already over. That is tonight.
Essentially, yes.
That is tonight, so we got to get some Preds thoughts in as well. And, of course, Caroline, so we are loaded the rest of the way. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, those are my guys. Hiller is celebrating the home of the free all July long with special deals for customers. Get your free grilling must-haves when you make your home improvements, like a free Yeti Tundra cooler with the purchase of a new tankless water heater. Free Traegerwood pellet grill with the purchase of a new all-home generator. Free Traegerwood pellet grill with the purchase of select new HVAC systems. Hiller backs their work with a happy you'll be or the service is free guarantee, and I know that because I use Hiller myself. I absolutely love them. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. These deals are only happening happening in July, so you've got to call as soon as possible. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Preds and the Vols. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.
We want to be the only SEC program in the state of Texas. There's a reason why Texas A&M left the Big 12. To be standalone, to have our own identity, and that's our feeling.
A&M Athletic Director Ross Bjork wants no part of Texas in the SEC. Now, Caroline, you say he walked that back a little bit. But Kirk Bowles, who has covered Texas for a long time for the Austin American-Statesman, reports, and he is always, like, coaching searches, everything. You know, like the old news guys who, like, are, you know, they can beat an Adam Schefter on a story?
Right.
He said, I'm told A&M in Missouri would be a hard no. Only two more teams in the SEC are needed to block an invitation for Texas or Oklahoma. Now, Dan Wolkin says the Mississippi schools should absolutely be a no. I don't know why Mississippi schools would have a problem with it, but I don't know. You're Vanderbilt. You want Texas and Oklahoma in your conference?
No. I think if I'm Vanderbilt, and I will reiterate what I said. If this happens, the big boys get bigger, the small boys get smaller. I think Vanderbilt already has a ton of competition ahead of them where they haven't been able to find a lot of success recently. And adding two other powerhouse schools to the conference only makes Vanderbilt's job harder.
Blue Raider Blitz is rolling across the mid-state to a town near you, led by Middle Tennessee Blue Raiders football coach Rick Stockstill. This community-wide event will be guaranteed fun for the whole family. Each of the seven stops will include food, ticket giveaways, and a chance to mix and mingle with MTSU's coaching staffs and the best mascot in Conference USA, Lightning. For more information, head to blueraider.com/tour. Time for Headlines with Caroline.
We're spanning the sports world. It's Headlines with Caroline on Stillman and Company, right here on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Maria Taylor is officially out at ESPN.
Yes.
Her contract ended today. Well, it was through the end of the NBA Finals, which ended last night. It was announced this morning that her and Jimmy Pitaro, the president of ESPN, could not finalize a contract extension. So her official last ESPN assignment was the NBA Finals last night. And it was announced last week that she was apparently reportedly in the works of nearing a deal with NBC Sports to be the new host of Football Night in America, provide coverage for the Olympics and also Notre Dame football games. So that could be where she is headed next. She wanted more money from ESPN. She said she, quote, wanted Stephen A. money. He makes $8 million. She currently makes $1 million at ESPN. I heard they offered her a $5 million contract. She declined. So I'm expecting wherever she's going next, most likely NBC Sports, she's getting the money she wants.
Well, they offered $5 million, and then they took it off the table, and then she said no. Then she came back, and they said that the $5 million was
like
off the table.
They retracted like $2 or $3 million.
They offered $3
million. Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm not a TV executive, though those at ESPN that have been making decisions as of late I don't think are the greatest executives in the world. I don't get it with Maria Taylor. Like, to me, she's everything that ESPN wasn't built on. I mean, think about the hosts that they've had on ESPN that have been, you know, the big time. Chris Berman, Stuart Scott, Dan Patrick, Kenny Mayne, Linda Cohn. I mean, like, Maria Taylor doesn't seem to me like Chris Berman. She doesn't feel like Stuart Scott. She doesn't feel like Dan Patrick.
Well, I don't think that's what her role is.
She's hosting.
Now, at NBC, she would be hosting. And the NBA Finals, she would be hosting.
That's what I'm saying. She was hosting.
Her traditional role at ESPN was never hosting. It was always sideline. And it was always supplemental to host on College Game Day. And I think she was very good at that as being a reporter.
She was fine at it. But she wasn't any better than anybody. She's not better than Laura Rutledge.
No, Laura Rutledge is great.
She's not better than Tom Rinaldi was.
No.
Like, Rinaldi, I get. I mean, I get Rinaldi. So, I say good riddance to bad rubbish. I will never forgive Maria Taylor. Now, I've only met Maria Taylor a handful of times.
She's a nice person.
I will not forgive publicly Maria Taylor for what she did to Rachel Nichols' career and why she did it. You know, the idea of, let me sit on this for a year and then blast it out there in order to help my negotiations and essentially not only ruin Rachel Nichols' career, but also at the same time, you know, really throw her under the bus personally. Because once you're called a racist, You can't take that back. And even though I don't think Rachel Nichols is a racist, I think that's how it was portrayed. And as somebody who has had the finger pointed at them with people saying, you're a racist, I can say that you can't unring that bell. And it's not a good position to be in. It's not fair, especially when it's not accurate. So to me, I am glad to see Maria Taylor gone. And if I never see her on my TV again, I will not miss her whatsoever. I'm not saying that I, you know, I want to kick her on her way out the door. I'm just saying she's nothing special to me on TV. Stuart Scott, that's special. Dan Patrick, Rich Eisen, Kenny Mayne, that was special. Chris Berman, you may not like him, that was special. Maria Taylor was the generic host you can find anywhere.
Also, some news from NFL.com. They just released a statement that the NFL Network is set to carry 23 live preseason games over the month of August, and the Tennessee Titans are a part of a 7-game slate in the 2021 preseason's third and final weekend, so two triple headers. Green Bay Packers and Buffalo Bills will get that slot on Saturday, followed by the Titans Bears at Nissan Stadium at 7 o'clock on August 28th, and then the Chargers and Seahawks that day later on as well. So the Titans will be on the NFL Network in their preseason game against the Chicago Bears.
So I was wondering this the other day. How are they going to handle these preseason games? Like, is the third preseason game like the fourth preseason game where you don't play anybody? Or is the third preseason game like the original third preseason game where you play your guys the most?
I don't know.
So first preseason game, you barely play anybody.
Right.
Second preseason game, you play them a little bit more. Third preseason game, you play them the most. Fourth preseason game, you don't play them.
Develops. Yes, you're correct in what you're thinking. The third and final preseason game is where those final kinks get worked out, so don't expect to get any peeks at any of the Titans stars in that one. You won't see Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, Julio Jones, or A.J. Brown, according to TitanSize.com.
So I saw something, though, that said that the roster will be cut down to 53 before the third game, and I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
No.
So I don't know how it's going to go this year.
But you could see Justin Fields in this game.
Yay. Last time the Titans and the Bears had the last preseason game, this will show you how unimportant it was. I spent the week leading up to it, the 4 days leading up to it in Jamaica, got home like that day, like that night as the game was going on, and it was Tyler Bray at quarterback for the Bears.
Go Vols, baby!
And I think Logan Woodside at quarterback for the Titans. And I think
they both
got cut like the next day.
That's sad.
So that tells you, and I think Logan led them back in the second half, and they missed, like, they had to go for it at two, didn't get it, something crazy like that. What's next?
Also, Tyler Bray's tattoo is one of the most interesting anomalies to me.
Hideous.
Horrible. So, we're talking about Maria Taylor's new ventures as a reporter, and there were also a lot of new ventures for female reporters last night. MLB history was made last night. For the first time ever, a game featured an all-female broadcast crew during the Orioles-Rays game last night. Melanie Newman did play-by-play for the Orioles. She's the Orioles radio play-by-play person since last year. Sarah Langs, who is an MLB.com writer, used to be at ESPN doing stats and info for the MLB. She did analysis in the booth, and then Elena Rizzo was the on-field reporter. Heidi Watney and Lauren Gardner anchored the pregame and postgame show. So first time ever an all-female broadcast crew for an MLB game last night. So really cool.
Good for them. Great opportunity. Let me say this about Heidi Watney. So when the pandemic hit, I bought a PlayStation. I don't play video games, but I bought a PlayStation when the pandemic hit. I bought the baseball game, like, and it got me through because, like, I was bored at night and I just play the baseball game.
Right, why not?
They would throw to these Heidi Watney interviews. And it's like, now we go down to the sidelines. Here's Heidi Watney.
But was it like real person interviews or was it like AI Heidi
Watney?
It was
awful. Okay. I can no longer listen to Heidi Watney's voice.
Oh,
after that, 4 months of playing video games in my life, I spent the first 15, 16 years playing video games every day. Then I never played them again. Then I played them for 4 months. And that 4 months of Heidi Watney just ruined
That's
it.
Enough.
Just ruined it for me.
Ah.
Those are headlines
Dang.
With Caroline. But good for them, and I think that's great.
Yeah.
The ultimate social experience is coming to Nashville. My Wine Society presents Blended Festival August 13th and 14th at First Horizon Park with live performances by Cascade, Little John, Matt Stell, Blanco Brown, Bryce Vine, and more. Enjoy Blended's massive 100-foot wine tasting tent and much, much more. Get Blended today. Tickets on sale now at blendedfestival.com. Use promo code GAME at checkout for 10% off your tickets. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company, Carolines as we get set. One game currently in progress. This was from Monday, the rainout of the Braves and the Padres. We both took the Padres on the money line, so this one will be factored in at some point. Padres lead the Braves 5-4 in the bottom of the third. Now, good day in Moneyline and Carolines for yours truly. Hit on the Braves, hit on the Cubs, hit on the Bucks, and we tied in soccer.
How about those Swedes?
But I took the USA women's soccer team in the Olympics minus 1.5. And somehow we lost. I don't know how we lost. But we lost. Caroline took Sweden on the money line. 3-0 victory for the Swedes. We might need to think about firing the coach. I mean, this is USA women's soccer. We're not supposed to lose. It's time now for Caroline's.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Caroline's here on Stillman & Company
on ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
JS up 4-2-1. Caroline Fenton 2-4-1.
Not great. Minor setback for a major comeback. Okay. I'm feeling it. Astros, Phillies tonight. Give the Astros minus 1.5.
I thought the Yankees
minus 134. Yankees play the Phillies.
You just said Astros, Phillies.
I meant Astros, Indians.
Okay.
I'm also picking Phillies, Yankees. Astros, Indians. I'm going to take Astros minus 1.5. That's minus 134. Lance McCullers is on the mound for the Astros. Has been super productive. Last outing, he had a 7-1 win against the White Sox on Friday. 10 strikeouts on Friday. He's got a 2.80 ERA versus Eli Morgan on the mound for the Indians. He has a 7.86 ERA, 1-3 over 6 starts. Not great. Not great. So far this season, the Astros have won all 6 of their meetings. I mean, Cleveland's just, their offense isn't great. Their pitcher tonight, historically not great. And the play here on the money line isn't really worth your money. I believe it's minus 230 for the Astros on the money, minus 270 for the Astros on the money line. History tells us the Astros are going to win by at least 2.
So I'm going to take the Astros on the money line here. I do want to take the Indians, but I looked at their lineup and I don't recognize anybody. Yeah. So once I don't recognize you, see ya. I'll go Astros on the money line.
And we've also got Phillies, Yankees. I'm sorry, I can't get my team straight today. Spencer Howard is on the mound for the Phillies. He's 0-2 with a 5.82 ERA with 5 starts, 4 relief appearances. Asher Wojciechowski, right-hander, is on the mound for the Yankees. Got a 6.81 ERA, 1-3 with 7 starts. So, I mean, none of these matchups really do anything for you.
I'm taking the Phillies.
All right, cool. And we've also got an MLS game
tonight.
Who are you taking? I'm taking the Phillies on the money line, minus 108.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. See, I'm taking the Phillies, too. Now I feel bad.
Okay, well, Twins.
I know, but now it's, you know.
Well, then take the Yankees if you want.
But I don't believe they're going to win.
Okay. Well, then we're both taking the Phillies.
All right, what's next?
Okay, we also have some MLS tonight. Columbus, Nashville SC. I'm going to take a draw plus 210 because I don't think that Nashville SC has had very many games end in an actual ending of a win or a loss.
So you're going with NSC draw. What is that? Plus 220?
Plus 210.
And what is Nashville SC on the money line?
Nashville SC on the money line is plus 115.
And so they're the underdogs.
Columbus is plus 230.
I'm in a tough spot.
So, I mean,
the odds
aren't great. The odds are great.
Here's why I'm in a tough spot. I don't know anything about Columbus.
I don't know. Yep, fair.
But Nashville SC just scored about 13,000 goals the other night.
So I'm picking a tie.
I'm going to take Columbus on the money line because Max told me to take Columbus.
Max, what the heck? You can't give him tips. Not fair.
Why am I taking Columbus on the money line, Max?
I just think Columbus is going to win.
That's what? Your expert analysis? That's what you're going with?
It's better
no
than
offense,
my,
Max.
It's better than my analysis on it.
That's fair. I had no analysis other than I just feel like it's going
to
die.
I'm going back to the well. Rangers. All Detroit right. Tigers.
Bad team teams versus stay. Bad team.
Give me the Rangers.
Rangers
Give me
the
Rangers.
Line.
Rangers on the money line. Detroit is -115, so the Rangers obviously good odds there. Give me the Rangers. Jordan Lyles on the mound. Give me them on the money line.
Give me the Tigers on the money line.
I knew you were going to do that. I knew you were going to do that. Both teams are absolutely
just
terrible.
Horrendous.
But is there any logic you have here, Max, on why I should take Columbus?
No.
Solid.
Well, now I want to change my pick back to
you
Nashville.
You can't. It's already out there.
He said, take Columbus, Jared. I ignored it. He put a star by it. I ignored it. He put like 10 stars on the right of it, 10 stars on the left of
Max,
it.
Max, I feel like there's something you're not telling me.
I can't ignore
what
that.
What do you know?
Jared, you owe me if this pick hits.
No, you got to tell me why I should believe in your pick.
Just believe.
Hey, I believe that we will win.
I believe that we will win. I also
worked out well for you at 3 a.m.
Do we have any desire in watching the expansion draft tonight, knowing that the picks are already in?
The only desire I had was to see which of the Predators was heading to Seattle. We know that. Probably still watch it, just because why not?
Are you disappointed if Poile doesn't make a deal tonight?
Yes.
Do you expect Poile to make a deal tonight?
No. Do you expect Poile to make a deal tonight?
No. No, absolutely not.
I will be very pleasantly surprised if he does, depending on what that deal is.
Oh, yeah, because if the deal is another bad deal.
Right, then I'm like, okay, just right. Should have done nothing at that point.
Give up Roman Yossi for nothing. That's going to do it for us. We are out of here. We are back tomorrow at 2, Stillman & Company. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.